This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere is with us, and the phone lines are open, 977-1070. Rick, we were just talking with Jamie Dyer about the this little church in Florida that has scheduled to burn some Korans despite General David Petraeus saying, please don't, you will risk the lives of American servicemen and women who are currently serving overseas, and extremists looking for any excuse to kill, American men and women overseas, and yet this church really doesn't seem to care about that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I would compare this church to the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, which is just one family and a couple of weird hangers-on who go around protesting at military funerals and funerals of gay people who say that 9/11 was the result of the United States being too tolerant of homosexuals. They're cranks, and it's probably best to ignore them, but we have to respect their First Amendment rights.
The thing about it is, what they're doing, that you've got a lot of middle-class Christian right folks who are sympathetic to it. They wouldn't necessarily light the match, but they're like, well, I don't have any problem with that.
They'd be like St. Paul standing alongside the stoning of St. Stephen, holding the coats of the people who are throwing the rocks.
Yeah.
But that was before he was a Christian. I think it's really tacky, and I think that burning books of any sort is almost akin to murder, because you're trying to destroy ideas, and you're saying that these words are so bad that they must be destroyed. And I think General Petraeus was probably wrong to comment on this, because it was his
comment
brought this to the worldwide attention.
Yeah.
These people could have had a little book burning in their backyard and nobody would have paid any attention to it.
Yeah.
But we are giving them what they want. They want the eyes of the world on them. And it's the same thing with Fred Phelps and his Westboro Baptist Church. If we ignored them, they would go away, because they're like 2-year-old kids who are screaming for attention.
Yeah.
And if you just treat them like 2-year-old kids, then they'll stop acting that way.
And I think kids is the perfect metaphor there, because, or the simile actually is, they are like that, because, and the argument that that I think gets a lot of traction, even with sensible adults, well, they burn our Bible, we can burn their Quran. That is a kid argument. That's a first grade argument. He hit me, I'm going to hit him back. When the whole point of America is that we're the place where we don't do that. We're going to be the first place in history where we're not going to do that. We're going to be above that.
Yeah, but of course, in our history, we haven't been above that. We've seen this sort of thing in the past, but it's always been fringe elements. It's been eccentrics. And we tolerate eccentricity in America, but we don't celebrate it that much.
Yeah.
Especially that kind of eccentricity that is, sinister.
We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Barbara's on the line. Barbara, go right ahead.
Hey, I hate to disagree with you, but I don't think it's something that you can compare to kids or something just innocent. I think that the Tea Partiers have discovered recently that there is a constitution, and they rant and rave about the amendments. And to do something like this, just imagine if Bibles were being burned. I mean, what would be going on in the Christian right movement today if the Bibles were being burned?
Well, I think that's why they are burning. The Bibles are being burned overseas by some Islamic extremists, and that's one reason this is being done. Is it not, Rick?
I'm not aware of that. I haven't read that, but it's certainly possible. But I have to disagree with Barbara about the Tea Party. They didn't just recently discover the Constitution. They are exercising their constitutional freedoms because they know what it stands for. And I just want to give the example of the Montana Tea Party, which just recently made some headlines because their president made some anti-gay remarks on either Twitter or Facebook, I don't remember which, and they acted swiftly to can him. They said, this kind of behavior by one of our members is unacceptable, and they fired him on the spot.
Wow.
And that's pretty typical of Tea Party groups that I'm familiar with, is, these are not John Birch Society Neanderthalers. These are people who really understand what it means to be an American, and that we tolerate our differences, but that there are certain values that you stand for and you work towards achieving those goals. The Tea Party is almost entirely focused on economic issues, fiscal issues, the healthcare legislation. And when it comes to social issues, they are either agnostic or they're libertarian in their thinking.
Barbara, thanks for the call. And just to clarify, I wasn't saying that the burning of the Quran is a childlike act. I was saying the argument that the rationale, well, we'll burn their books because they burned our books, that is a childlike argument.
And just echoing you, I think that these people are acting tremendously immaturely. They are not showing any sort of discernment or wisdom. They are just being mean for the sake of being mean.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. He's the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, and he's online at ricksincere.com. Now, you were down in, just to change gears here and talk a little Virginia politics, you were down in BV recently for the kickoff of the official campaign season?
Yeah, somehow over the past 40 years, the Labor Day parade and festival in Buena Vista has become the kickoff to the campaign season in Virginia. And usually there are lots of statewide politicians there as well as local ones. This year, the only statewide politician who showed up was Governor Bob McDonnell. But of course, there are no statewide offices up for election this year. Last year, it was a huge crowd with all the candidates for governor and lieutenant governor and attorney general speaking. It was more subdued this year. Governor McDonnell gave a nicely received speech, but there wasn't as big of a crowd. And the candidates in the 6th District, where Buena Vista is located, for the Congress, incumbent Bob Goodlatte and his two independent challengers, Libertarian Stuart Bain and centrist Jeff Fahnke, were there to speak, as well as Delegate Ben Klein. It was subdued, but it was nice to hear the politicians speak. And, you know, it's one of those situations where you can just walk up to your congressman and tell him what you think.
Yeah. Now, was Creed Eads there? Because he's the...
I heard a report that Creed Eads was there. And in fact, I saw a picture of him shaking hands along the parade route on TV, but I didn't see him there and nobody I know saw him there. He was scheduled to speak at the formal, speechifying part of the program, but he didn't show up. And I'm kind of surprised that he didn't, because he's the state senator that represents that part of Virginia. And I would have expected him to speak just as Ben Klein did, even though he's not up for election this year. But he must have only walked a part of the parade route, never made it to the end, and decided to go home. I don't know what happened to him.
Huh. We're talking with Rick Sincere. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Rick, today the governor's office made its announcement that his staff had officially recommended the privatization of the ABC of Virginia. And they sent out this big press release saying that the privatization is expected to provide $500 million in new funding for transportation, which I'd like to see the details of that. But the money realized from privatization will be placed in a Virginia Transportation Infrastructure Bank. The bank will loan and grant funds to localities for transportation projects based on congestion relief and economic development. 1,000 retail licenses will be auctioned off to the highest bidders. The licenses will be broken into three categories: 600 licenses for large establishments such as grocery stores, 150 for smaller establishments such as package stores, wine and beer shops, and 250 licenses for convenience stores and retail pharmacies. No one company will be allowed more than 25% of licenses within each level. And so this is just a few of the specifics now finally coming out about the governor's plan to privatize the ABC. All of this, of course, needs to go through the General Assembly. So we're not quite sure what it's going to look like when it's said and done, but we're clearly moving closer to this.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking to a number of members of the General Assembly, and almost all of them said that they wanted to wait for the details to come out before they're really able to comment. Now the details are there, and it'll be interesting to see how they react. I've heard some grumblings from people that this involves new taxes and tax increases. I'm not a math whiz, I'm not very good at analyzing numbers. My housemate is, and I might suggest that with his math degree from VCU, he might want to analyze these figures for me. But I think that in the long run, after a period of adjustment, even with the new taxes and tax increases, consumers and restaurant owners will end up paying less for their alcoholic beverage purchases than they are paying now. So they will end up saving money. I don't know how long that period of adjustment is going to be, but I think that it is going to turn out that people will be saving money and they will have additional choices in terms of the consumer products that are available to them than they can have now. So I'd like to analyze these proposed new taxes and tax increases before simply coming out against it, as a lot of my conservative friends are, because they're just against all new taxes, period.
Now, where would the taxes be on the...
Well, there's a proposed 1.5% new tax on restaurant sales, plus a $17.50 per gallon tax on distilled spirits. And that's meant to make up for the markup that the government makes now by selling those products directly to the consumer. And I'm not quite sure whether it comes out as revenue neutral.
So they're privatizing, but then taxing the sale of it in the private market.
Right. And because with 1,000 outlets and the what you call a repatriation of Virginia purchases, something between 10 and 20% of Virginia purchases of alcoholic beverages are made out of state. And so I think with a private system that allows greater consumer choice, more people will buy their alcoholic beverages in Virginia rather than go to West Virginia or D.C. or Maryland, because it'll be more convenient and they'll have more choices available to them. So there will be an increase in purchases in Virginia, but not necessarily an increase in consumption, which means that there will be more money coming in. And I think in the long run, those taxes will be able to be reduced and we'll still be able to make those revenues up for the state. I think, you know, I talked to Delegate Ben Klein on Monday, and he said that, he's in favor of privatizing in principle, but he doesn't want to see tax increases as a result of privatization. So we'll have to see how somebody like him, he says it doesn't matter whether it's revenue neutral or we lose money or we make money by this. He says that the principle is the government shouldn't be involved in this kind of business.
Shouldn't be in the liquor business. Yeah.
But he also is against new taxes. So, someone like him will vote for it on principle, but he might also vote against the tax increases, which the Democrats who are opposed to privatization are in favor of. They'd love to see more taxes on alcohol, even if it's still the state monopoly. So you're going to have a fight on sort of the fringes of this proposal rather than a fight over the principle.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Democrats who are opposed to privatization say it's not really a core function of government, but we really like the money that comes out of it.
We're talking with Rick Sincere, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Stephen is with us on the line. Stephen, go right ahead, bud.
Hi, Coy. This is for Rick Sincere, your guest on the program.
Yeah.
I was wondering, back to talking about the Tea Party, there's a big rally in Washington, D.C. this weekend called 9-12 on Sunday, September 12th. And Fox News host Glenn Beck originally came up with this idea and asked Americans to think back to the person they were the day after 9-11 to 9-12. I was wondering if Rick can talk about what he thinks about these Tea Party get-togethers and marches, and if they're helpful for the conservative movement.
What a great question. Does the Tea Party help conservatives in America?
I think it helps everybody. Certainly in terms of political activism, the Tea Party has been a real breath of fresh air. It's brought people together who simply have not been involved in politics before, and they're exercising.
Weren't these all the people, though, that voted for McCain, though? I mean, weren't these...
Some were.
They were out knocking on doors for McCain.
I don't think so. I interviewed Matt Kibbe, who's with Freedom Works, which is an advocacy group in D.C. He and Dick Armey just wrote a book about the Tea Party movement, and Matt told me that in... Everywhere he goes and talks to people in the Tea Party, the first thing they say to him is, I've never been involved in politics before. It's just not been part of my life. And something in the past few years, in the late Bush administration, before Obama came into office, has sparked a need for political involvement in these people. And I think eventually the idea of marches and demonstrations is going to become sort of passé. But in the meantime, what's going to happen is these people would have developed a network of friends and acquaintances and colleagues, and they're going to be able to call on each other for help in political campaigns. And what I think is that the Tea Party is creating a generation of political leaders, not necessarily politicians, but your community leaders. And what's going to emerge out of the Tea Party in the next 6 to 12 years are the future senators and congressmen and presidents whose names we don't even know yet. But they are going to have, you know, cut their political teeth in the Tea Party. And they're going to learn through their experience in the grassroots. And I think that's a great thing.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. It's about 10 minutes in front of 5 o'clock. Eric called earlier when we were talking with Jamie Dyer. Eric, a regular listener on the program and has never had a bad question. Always look forward to Eric chiming in. He had a great question. You know, where are all the progressives and liberals being upset about the fact that Obama said he was going to dismantle the imperial presidency that Bush had built, and he's only built it stronger, and he's only reinforced the Patriot Act, and he's only protected the Bush secrets and created more secrets? And where is the outrage against these same actions? But now there's a D in front of the guy's name instead of an R, and they don't seem mad about it.
I would ask the same question, and I think what it shows is that a lot of people involved in politics are more concerned about party loyalty than they are about principle. And there are people who are, say, involved in the Tea Party who belie the complaint that, these people weren't anywhere complaining when Bush was in power. But the fact is that there are people. Bruce Bartlett, for instance, is an old-line conservative quasi-libertarian economic analyst, and he wrote a whole book about how George Bush was ruining American politics and had destroyed the presidency, and he was made anathema by Republicans. He was fired from his job at a conservative think tank because he had the nerve to complain about what the Bush administration was doing. And he's just one example of many people I know who were the Tea Party before the Tea Party had a name.
Yeah.
And I think on the other side, on the liberal side, on the Democratic side, people are sitting on their hands now because the things that they would complain about if a Republican were in charge, they're not complaining about. But if a Republican wins in 2012 and does the same thing that Obama does, they'll be out shouting about it.
Well, and it was the same thing under Clinton, where were all the women liberals complaining about, his Piccadillys and in the Oval Office, and
right.
They were all quiet. All the feminists were so quiet about what Clinton was doing.
Yeah, this is a story that you hear told over and over again in American politics. When our guy does it, it's fine. When the other guy does it, we complain.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Sincere. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. One other quick point about the privatization of ABC stores. I noticed here in this press release from the governor's office, and this is perhaps to placate the social conservatives who've spoken out against it, which is interesting because they're usually the same people who are against big government and, for the free market at all costs. And yet, when it comes to this, they're for big government and they're against the free market. But in this list of specifics under his plan, he says the number of ABC enforcement agents will be increased by 25%. Doesn't say where they'll be increased and doesn't say, is that a full-time jobs? But we're talking about increasing the number of state employees in one department here by 25%. That's huge.
Well, there's a question as to whether that will actually be a net increase in state employees, because when you think about it, there are 2,500 people working in ABC stores right now. Those people won't be working for ABC stores after the transition, so they could be hired on as agents who will be doing a different job than they are doing now. Instead of being a clerk selling alcoholic beverages.
But I thought that was, I guess my point is this, wasn't that to have been one of the big gains from privatizing, was that the state would not be bearing this tremendous burden of all these retail stores and these retail employees?
Well,
it looks like they're going to keep a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the numbers, my suspicion is that there would be a net decrease in
state
ABC employees.
Yeah.
But they will have different jobs. I think if you're increasing the number of licensees twice as many. I mean, more than twice as many. The regulatory burden is just slightly higher. I think that we can trust the employees of private liquor stores to enforce the law as well as those who are in the ABC stores now.
Yeah, but, of course. I mean, they sell beer. They sell, you know.
Yeah, there's a regulatory function that I think is legitimate as far as you know, making sure that the law is enforced. But they shouldn't be looking over the shoulders of the liquor store employees to make sure that they're you know, not selling the wrong kind of liquor for a particular kind of cocktail party.
We're talking with Rick Sincere. He's live in studio, and Jim is on the line. Jim, thanks for the call, buddy. Go right ahead.
I'm one of those guys that you just talked about, anti-big government, more privatization. But if you look at the numbers, if we're making $230 million a year from the ABC stores and we're going to sell it for a one-time move of $500 million, that doesn't add up. So I'll get off and listen to what you have to say.
It's a great point, and that was my first thought. Months ago when I first heard about this, it didn't seem to make sense. I think he's exactly right. It's like a one-time shot. And this is the argument we're hearing from a lot of Democrats in Richmond, is we're talking about losing a lot of money that currently goes into the general fund from the sale of liquor.
2 points. First is, yes, we may be making $230 million off of selling liquor, but that's an illegitimate function of government.
You shouldn't have gotten used to that money in the first place.
Right. It's immoral. It's immoral for the government to be involved in that kind of business, involved in any kind of business. Second thing is, I don't think it's a one-time shot, because the licenses to sell liquor are going to be they're going to rotate. I mean, not every store is going to stay in business, and its license will become available by auction over and over again. And each time those licenses come up for renewal, the government's going to make some money off of it, plus the taxes that will be taken in. But I think the major point is, this is an illegitimate function of government. We shouldn't be doing it in the first place.
Yeah. So the folks who say, but we like that money, that's money you should never have had.
Well, you know, they say, I'm in favor in principle, but, and then they go on and say, well, we want the money. But, well, then you're not really in favor of it in principle, because you have no principles.
Rick Sincere, he's the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia. You can check out his work online at ricksincere.com. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.